"It remains for me, then," he said, "to remember you in my prayers and to entreat God for you in all earnestness, that you may not indeed become a castaway. I had thought I recognized in you one of the chosen, but God sees not as man sees. His will be done." He opened the gate, passed through it, and strayed away down the glen. He was soon out of sight. On re-entering the parlour, I found Diana standing at the window, looking very thoughtful. Diana was a great deal taller than I. She put her hand on my shoulder and, stooping, examined my face. "Jane," she said, "you are always agitated and pale now. I'm sure there's something the matter. Tell me what business St. John and you have on hand. I've watched you this half hour from the window. You must forgive my being such a spy, but for a long time I have fancied I hardly know what. St. John is a strange being." She paused. I did not speak. Soon she resumed. "That brother of mine cherishes peculiar views of some sort respecting you, I'm sure. He has long distinguished you by a notice and interest he never showed to anyone else. To what end? I wish he loved you. Does he, Jane?" I put her cool hand to my hot forehead. "No, Di, not one whit." "Then why does he follow you so with his eyes, and get you so frequently alone with him, and keep you so continually at his side? Mary and I had both concluded he wished you to marry him.